But we now head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, Jimmy, as we're joined by a very special guest.
Yes, we are. Longtime friend Josh Kendall. He is with The Athletic, and he covers South Carolina. Hey, Josh, how are you?
Pretty good, Jimmy. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
When I first thought of calling you, there was the Ray Tanner comment, and, of course, a few things have happened since then. But I do want to ask you about what South Carolina's athletic director said, and I haven't heard many ADs in the league say this. He said he thought that South Carolina might play before 15 to 20,000, if any fans at all. What did you make of that?
Well, let me give you a little backstory on that interview because I think it illuminates what he did say. So Ray, at the beginning of this whole thing in March and April, and usually before, you know, in pre-pandemic times, very accessible, as transparent as any of his peers, is willing to sort of dig through the weeds with you and talk about options, and this is what we're thinking. And he did that a lot in March and April and even May. In the last 3 weeks, he has turned down every interview request I've sent him. And that, to me, is a sign that he doesn't want to be pessimistic publicly, and he can't be honest without being pessimistic. But he's contracted for a monthly appearance on the local radio show because it's the flagship radio. So he's got an hour every month, and I think they did a good job of getting, you know, asking the right questions. So he's on there for an hour, and I think he's trying to be as optimistic as he can. But it's clear to me, based on the things he didn't say, that he, you know, he's in the same boat with the rest of us. He's worried about football.
Were there other things that he said that got your attention other than the limited amount of fans, if any fans at all?
I think the fact that he mentioned the fans was surprising because I believe that we're sort of, from my perspective, it seems like we're sort of past that conversation. He continued to say what he has been saying from the beginning, which is we have time, although I know we don't have as much time as we did. There was nothing there that was a huge surprise to me. There was a guy who was on the radio for an hour and said, you know, the most interesting thing he said to me was at the very end of it when he said, yes, when we come out of this, we might have to figure out how to right-size some of the things we do in college football, meaning not pay coaches $4 million a year or not spend $50 million on football-only buildings. But that's way down the road. Right now, we just got to figure out if they can play football in the fall.
Yeah, it seemed like those coaches' salaries might be trying to put toothpaste back into the tube. I'm not sure if you can switch that one.
Yeah, he acknowledged that they were fighting an uphill battle there. But maybe don't give them an extra $5 million.
Yeah.
Josh, appreciate your time. It's good to talk with you. And when you look at what this year has been with everything shutting down in March, what have you looked at the most in terms of just what have you sought in terms of any kind of either momentum towards the season or covering those seasons that were lost? How have you gone through what has been such a different period of time for all of us?
Well, I've been pretty optimistic up until the last 3 weeks that fall football was going to be played. I have gotten less optimistic because of the numbers in certain parts of the country, including South Carolina. I think that the Gamecocks are ready to play. I think the Gamecocks could put together a football team, you know, based on – they're not releasing their numbers, but I think that their numbers are low and very manageable. I think that in operating in a bubble, South Carolina could play, and I bet you every other SEC team could play too. But I think we're clearly fighting a bigger issue here. And with the state of South Carolina – recording almost daily records in number of positive tests, number of deaths, amount of hospitalizations. I'm just not sure you can fight that PR battle. I'm not sure you can say we're going to bring back this number of people or we're even, you know. Here's the thing that I keep coming back to. So on August 20th, in theory, 20,000 more college students or so are going to come to campus at the University of South Carolina. And those kids are going to do what all college kids do, which is go pack 5 points all night long. And 2 weeks later, they're going to play a football game amidst what it almost certainly will be another spike in this thing. I don't know. I'm in a pessimistic mood the last week. The news with the Big Ten didn't do anything to help it. The news with the Ivy League didn't do anything to help it. The only thing that gives me the thought that they're going to play is how much money they would lose if they don't, you know, to the tune of $40 million in media rights.
We continue to hear about the schedule, either one, being reshaped with the Big Ten, as you mentioned. There's consideration with David Cutcliffe at Duke saying that he would probably prefer the conference games only just for the control that would be in place. You would know that the other team, your opponent, was having to follow the same guidelines and parameters that had been set for your team. But when you take a look at, for instance, South Carolina and Clemson, if teams are well enough to play, it kind of doesn't make sense if they weren't to play a regularly scheduled game. Do you see potentially a partnership that exists for this year only, maybe between the SEC and the ACC, if indeed they wind up with gaps in their schedule based on games that don't take place?
I think absolutely they could do that. I mean, I'm considering Clemson a conference opponent. If the SEC says they're going to conference-only games, I think that they'll find a way to play Clemson. And I do think they'll eventually go to conference-only games. My understanding is the head coaches haven't been informed of anything of the like, but are probably planning on that. And as much as it is a testing issue, I think it's a scheduling issue, because what that gives you is sort of complete flexibility within your entity to move games around. Because I think if you do play in the fall, you're going to have some speed bumps. You're going to have some hiccups. And maybe Georgia and South Carolina can't play September the 22nd or whatever. That's not the date. But they could play on October 8th if we jiggered the schedule around. And now we don't have to worry about the fact that, oh, Georgia was supposed to play Middle Tennessee State then or whatever. We've got complete control of the schedule, and we've got a few extra weekends to work with, and we can sort of just make it up as we go if we have to get eight conference games in. So I think that's as big a reason as any to go to conference only, and I think that's why you'll see a lot of other people do it.
I guess Josh Kendall with The Athletic, he covers South Carolina. Josh, you mentioned $40 million in media rights. Is that the SEC distribution media rights? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, well, South Carolina's 2020-21 budget calls for $47 million from the SEC and NCAA. The vast majority of that is football, you know, some basketball tournament, but football media rights. So if you take out the largest chunk of that, I mean, I think you're talking ballpark $40 million if you don't have TV inventory. And that's a lot of incentive to give it a shot.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I'm in your camp right now. I think they're probably going to look at trying to go with conference games only. And but I saw an article you had about the group of five opponents South Carolina's to play. Are those schools going to be scrambling?
I think they are. Those are the people I feel genuinely bad for. Right now, as of this morning, both Coastal Carolina and East Carolina, who are South Carolina's first two opponents, have not been told that they're not coming to Williams-Brice Stadium the first 2 weeks of the season. They believe they're doing that. I think, but they understand the reality, and they understand the way that momentum is moving. If those games don't happen for teams like that, and all those group of five schools end up with, you know, Coastal was supposed to get a check for $1.4 million. They'll probably get some of that, but I bet they don't get all of that. The East Carolina game was part of a home-and-home. South Carolina's scheduled to play in Greenville next year. Does that game even happen if East doesn't come here this year? So those are the people who have even less room to navigate this financially, who you feel extra bad for.
I wanted to ask you this as well. Will Muschamp mentioned before last season he thought he would have his best team, and they were like something like 4-8. I wonder if you feel like if he has a bad season, if he could get fired, or do you think the extenuating circumstances could potentially work in his favor?
I think they work in his favor. I don't see any scenario that he's not the head coach in 2021. I just don't. I think, number one, you look at the financial reality of it. His buyout's going to be a little north of $13 million. Are you going to come out of this situation? You know, even in best-case scenario at this point, you're going to take a financial hit. You're going to pay a guy $13 million to go away. Then from a PR standpoint, are you going to be able to, after talking about how much money you're losing and the fact that you might have to cut sports and you're furloughing people and you're probably going to end up laying people off, and then you're going to fire a football coach because he didn't win enough games during a pandemic? I think Will Muschamp is here for year six in 2021, no matter what happens in the fall or spring of 2020.
Josh, is it still weird at all to consider that Jake Bentley's not finishing his career in Columbia?
Yeah, that would have been like super weird under normal circumstances. I wish that was the weirdest thing going on, but I did see something that we wrote. You know, I did see something that we wrote from Utah. One of our Utah writer wrote the other day, and there's a picture of Jake Bentley in a Utes jersey, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that almost. That is weird. That was, you know, the South Carolina fans. Again, let's go. Let's ignore reality. I think we could all use some of that, and let's go just say normal circumstances. If South Carolina is scuffling along in the fall of 2020 and Jake Bentley goes out there and lights it up with a pretty good Utah team, man, you talk about some mad South Carolina fans, they would have been hot.
Mm-hmm. There was so much that was lost. Some seasons never got to start when everything was shut down in March. Baseball, of course, was right on the cusp in the SEC of conference play. So Tennessee didn't get to come over to Columbia. But tell me, what about Dawn Staley and the team that she had and how they were rolling? How difficult is it to see a team miss out on that opportunity to potentially raise a banner? And I think her team would have been the favorite to do so, don't you?
I think so for sure. That's, you know, they won 26 or 27 in a row. They had beaten most of the top teams. I think it was going to end up being them and Oregon in the final game, and that would have been a really good game to watch. Here's the so absolutely you hate it for them. Here's the only positive thing from that is the two seniors that they lost do have a national championship ring from 4 years ago, and these freshmen who are playing for them are going to get some more before they leave. She has signed she has commitments from five stars for the class of 2021.
Wow,
she's building a monster. So yes, it stinks that they didn't get that chance, but they're going to get some more.
Josh, you mentioned the furloughs. Did South Carolina furlough a lot of people in the athletic department?
I don't know the exact number, but they have furloughed some people. They're going through that process now. Ray Tanner, Will Muschamp, Frank Martin, and Dawn all took 10% pay cuts for the year. So far, those are the biggest chunks they've taken out of the budget. But, you know, if this goes much deeper, I think South Carolina and lots of SEC schools will cut sports.
Will cut sports, okay. Yeah, Tennessee.
I think that's next on the chopping block.
Well, Tennessee hadn't done a furlough or cut anything yet. So, and I saw the projected deficit for Tennessee at a little over $10 million. That's what they're projecting. But I think that's still with football. So, man, if you don't have it, it's gonna change those dynamics. I would think a great deal. But it would be interesting. We've seen Stanford cut 11 of their 36 sports. I would think if South Carolina's cutting them, they wouldn't be the only program in the SEC to cut sports. Would you agree?
No, I don't think so. I mean, South Carolina right now has got a men's soccer team that plays in Conference USA. Mark Burson, who's been the coach for 30-something years there, is retiring. I mean, that feels like a very fragile group right now. I could see that men's soccer team being gone. You know, I could see several sports being gone before this is over in the SEC. If it goes much deeper. Right now, if they can play a fall season and get the bulk of that TV money, I think they can weather a year. But if the cuts go much deeper, it's going to be worse.
Josh, there are still so many things to find out exactly what the reaction will be, and I don't think there's any question when you look at the record-setting number of cases that are continually reported one day to the next in so many states, that gets your attention. But is it the number of positive tests, or do you think it might be the bigger issue, complications from the virus itself in terms of impacting student-athletes that might be the biggest hurdle for sports, or how do you think? Do you think we'll see it be from state and local governments and authorities, or do you think it'll be SEC mandates or the NCAA? How do you think we might finally get to the end of knowing exactly who gets to make what call?
I think the SEC will make the decision. And you mentioned the numbers again. You know, we don't want to talk about it, but I was running, and I know, and I believe the numbers that I see that this virus is not serious, statistically serious, among the younger population. I was running the numbers with somebody last night. If you've got 65 Power 5 teams, is that right? Times 120 kids who make up the team, that's a little more than 8,000 kids. So then your statistic, you know, all it takes is one kid on a ventilator in the hospital, and this thing is all over, period. So I don't know. I mean, and that's what Greg Sankey is thinking. Greg Sankey has that, I guarantee you, has that thought every night. Mm-hmm. Kevin Warren in the Big Ten has that thought every night.
A ventilator or worse?
I don't even want to say it, but yes.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's possible.
It's going to be an interesting next few days. We'll see. And I'm sure the SEC will probably have some kind of announcement within the next week. Hey, Josh, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. Thanks for your time. And hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up with you later and talk about a football game.
Yeah, it'd be nice if I could see you this fall, Jimmy. That'd be fun.
That would be.
All right.
Hey, thank you, Josh. Appreciate that.
Thanks, guys.
Josh Kendall, he covers South Carolina for The Athletic.